What's up, everybody? Welcome to The Stack. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And Justin, welcome back and congratulations. We talked about this a little bit last week, but you created human life.
Created human life just by envisioning what I wanted and making it in the world.
Wow, that's amazing. I thought it was more of a junior thing, but it turns out it's more of a beyonder type thing.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Our daughter emerged fully formed from my cracked skull, straight up Athena
style. Oh, it's a Zeus thing.
Yeah, it's a Zeus thing.
Oh, man, so many things.
Yeah, definitely godlike. It's great to see you. When you give birth to a child, which I didn't do, my wife did, you don't see people, and so it's great to see you.
Oh, and it's great to talk about comics, and we're going to be talking about a bunch of comics that are coming out this Wednesday, being birthed, if you will, into the world.
Exactly. The great womb of Wednesday. Wednesday womb day has given birth to great titles.
So we're going to talk about a bunch of books that are coming out this very day and a few that are coming out a little later down the road. Let's kick it off with two DC comics. I figure we could talk about both of these at the same time.
Yeah.
Now, DC has been releasing a bunch of crossovers with Looney Tunes comics for a while. There's a new batch that came out today. We're going to talk about two of them. Lex Luthor, Porky Pig number one by Mark Russell. Russell and Brad Walker, and the Joker Daffy Duck number one by Scott Lobdell and Brett Booth.
Yeah.
So you've been enjoying these, right, Justin?
Yeah, the first run of these that they did were really fun. There was a great Porky Pig comic that came out that I think Tom King wrote. I know we talk about Tom King.
Yeah, there
all
was definitely
the
there was the Elmer Fudd. Oh, the Elmer Batman Fudd. That's one that everybody loved.
Yeah, that's the one that Tom King wrote. So you're right.
Yeah.
But I think Porky Pig, he was in it. He ran the bar, I believe, that actually has shown up in actual continuity in Tom King's run.
Whoa.
So maybe the Looney Tunes are finally part of the DC universe
that
Pete has
so.
Always wanted.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But these, so now they're doing a second run because of the success of the first.
I think this is actually like a third run at this point, something like that. They've done a bunch of rounds of them, and I think there's even more coming, but please continue.
So these are Mark Russell doing the Porky Pig. I really like Mark Russell. He was a writer on the Flintstones comic that
which
I feel like it's
great.
Got a lot of press.
That was great, yeah.
Which was good, taking like a fun, quote-unquote dumb concept like the Flintstones and giving it an edge. And that's what he does here with Porky Pig, having him work for Lex Luthor and have it be like, some real corporate fucked up malfeasance.
So the idea of this particular issue is that Porky Pig is a failed Bitcoin billionaire and he ends up working in the social media department at LexCorp. There's some shenanigans involving sandwiches, but for the most part, it's supposed to be about social media and toxic social media. The other one, the Joker and Daffy Duck end up working on a gang together. Daffy Duck runs the henchmen, finds out the Joker's the bad guy. Surprise. And turns against him. Both of them have backup stories as well, but their oversized issue is about 40 pages each. So, you know, good bang for your buck, which is what you expect from Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know, it took a little while to get there.
Most Looney Tunes are free.
Now, what did you... Because it seemed like... with the Porky Pig one, that he was in charge of media, like anybody could do it. You know what I mean? You... work in media, were you upset that like they was like, oh well, we have, you could just run the social media?
No,
that is a hard hitting question from Pete LePage.
It's great.
Making it personal.
I do want to mention before we turned on the podcast, we were talking about Pete came from work and we realized that both Justin and I don't actually know what he does for a job. Turns out Pete doesn't know what I do for a job either.
Fun
story.
It's great that we don't talk.
Yeah.
But no, that was the point, is that he doesn't know anything about social media and he's put in charge so he can be the fall guy for it. I'm just going to put it out there. These books make me really uncomfortable to look at. Specifically the look of Porky Pig and Daffy Duck in a more realistic superhero.
The cover freaked me the fuck out.
It makes me so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like, is Porky Pig specifically because he looks like what? Like loose skin?
Yeah, it's the...
The humanizing. You don't like the humanizing.
It's a very detailed... I love the backups because I was like, oh, phew, this is what I think of when I think of Porky Pig. But it was so weird. It was like he was almost... human size, and oh man, it would
freak me out. Lex Luthor
So there's the character Pig, right? The Batman villain,
right.
Who is a human
Professor
being.
Pig.
Professor Pig, thank you. I don't want to forget his title.
Give him a due. He went to fucking college, Alex.
Go to Pig school.
I do. Oh,
for 8 years. Do not be called Professor Pig.
I almost went to Pig Harvard, but I it was my safety school.
The other day I ate the Harvard of pigs.
Wow. Yum.
Delicious. Anyway, Professor Pig is supposed to make you uncomfortable in terms of how he looks. This reminds me of Professor Pig, but you're not supposed to feel uncomfortable, I guess.
I'll tell you what, I think Porky Pig is more uncomfortable, because with Professor Pig, you know, it's like a flesh mask.
Yeah.
But with Porky Pig, it's just flesh. And it's,
yo, it's the same thing with Daffy Duck and the Daffy Duck issue. It makes me uncomfortable, too, having this human-sized, uncomfortably proportioned duck.
I was surprised at how dark the Porky Pig one started. Like, he's talking about killing himself, and yeah. I was just like, where are you going from here? It was really insane.
It went down. As a whole, I thought the Porky Pig one I liked better than the Daffy Duck one, for sure.
I disagree. I'm on really? The other side of that.
I just like Mark Russell's writing a little bit more, and that he does put in some, like, pretty, you know, he has a strong takes on the world around us, and he puts it in these sort of frivolous one-shots. I will say, shout out to the backups in both these books, because I really like the Daffy Duck backup. Reminded me a lot of the old Daffy Duck cartoons. There was one famous one where he goes and does battle with all these like Dick Tracy type villains, yeah. And there was an homage to that in the back of this backup. Love that. Porky Pig one was done in the Looney Tunes animation style, yeah. Which was fun, and Lex Luthor in that backup is a real ringer for Dan DiDio.
Yeah.
Am I right?
I mean, I think what they're going for is they have the foreground stories, which are taking the Looney Tunes characters and putting them in a DC Comics world, and the backup stories are taking the DC Comics characters and putting them in a Looney Tunes world.
Nailed it.
And I like that. I'll tell you, I didn't love both of these issues. These are not my favorite ones of this run, but I appreciate that they're doing them. I think they're fun, and I hope they do keep doing them.
All right. Well, I really liked the Daffy Duck one because it was funny to see the Joker doing stand-up, and I thought that was a good bit with where he's, like, knocking on Batman's cave and that whole bit about, like, I'm supposed to be the world's greatest detective. Why should I tell you who's there? And I was like, oh, that's kind of funny.
You like the joke.
Yeah, I thought it was a good joke. And then I also thought it was very much in Daffy Duck continuity where he gets mad and is like, well, that's it. I declare war on Acme, and I'm going to go take a bus and go.
I like that you say that Daffy Duck continuity is a thing that exists.
Well, I just think, like, I watched a ton of Looney Tunes cartoons. So, like, when it comes to the voice of Daffy Duck and who he is, I was like, this is on brand and it makes sense.
My issue with Daffy Duck continuity is they kept retconning whether it was duck season or wabbit season. They could just tell us which one it is. But retcon after retcon, they couldn't get it straight.
Crisis on Infinite Seasons, you know what I'm talking about. Would you say pick these up? What do you think?
I'm going to throw in to pick up the Porky Pig.
Okay, and you say the Daffy Duck.
Daffy Duck.
Interesting. All right, let's move on to our next title, The New World, number 2 from Image Comics by Alice Cott and Trad Moore. Now, we love the first issue of this. It was absolutely fantastic. Superb art by Trad Moore, who you probably know the best from the Luther Strode series. He also gave a very distinctive look to Ghost Rider, the new Ghost Rider when that launched over at Marvel. This book takes place in a post-apocalyptic future where everybody is super into this Running Man style reality show where people are hunted down. It's basically cops to the umpteenth degree, and the Uber Judge cop Dredd, who is the daughter.
One of them, the helmets that look so reminiscent of
the
Judge
Uber Dredd. Cop, who is the daughter of the dude who runs New Los Angeles or New California, ends up having a one night hookup with the dude that she ends up having to track down the next day. They're both in a bad spot. Total Romeo and Juliet type deal. Kicking off the second issue, how do you think it held up, guys?
Man, this is just a tripped out fun ride. I think I love the colors. It really you can tell the artist is having fun with all the panels. It stays at a level of like intense, like, oh shit, what's going to happen? I think we love the first issue, and sometimes there can be a drop off of the second issue. I felt like it did an amazing job of keeping the momentum going. I love this issue. I thought it was amazing.
Justin, how'd you feel about it?
I agree. I like this comic a lot. I think this issue is more of a showcase for Trad Moore on the art, because the story was not a ton happens. It's like a sort of a couple moments and a lot of action happening. So it's just all about the art here. And, it's fun.
Yeah, I agree. There's a sequence with a car chase that is drawn phenomenally. Yeah. There's speed lines the way that I've never seen them before in the title.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. There's a little bit of plot movement, but they also take some time with the characters. There's a moment towards the end of the issue between the two characters that they just hang on for a little while, and it's powerful. Very nice.
Yeah,
it works very well.
Yeah, that scene in the bathroom.
More. Exactly.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah, and it ends in a pretty awful place for them, which is great in terms of getting us to tune in for the next issue.
Romeo and Juliet, classic.
Oh, man.
When are we
what are we going to get a sequel to
that? I never finished Romeo and Juliet, so I just love, so I'm happy it worked out.
Yeah, I stopped three quarters of the way through, and I was like, this is nice.
You guys got to finish reading that.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's an adaptation of that song, you know, what if I was Romeo in black jeans? You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, definitely. No, just based on that song, the little bit you sung, I think we all know exactly what you're talking about.
Moving on to another Image comic book, Wayward number 28 by Jim Zub and Stephen Cummings. I don't know how much you guys have been keeping up with this book, but I've been really enjoying it a lot. It takes place in modern Japan. It's almost like X-Men with Japanese folklore characters where a bunch of kids get powers based on ghosts, based on samurai, based on other esoteric folklore and myths, and they have to battle other evil folklore and myths. It's building to an epic conclusion very soon. We're very close there here. And now some bad things have come down, but the kids are all back together finally again and ready to take the final battle to this enormous demon dude. How'd you feel about this issue?
I like this. I haven't been keeping up with it, so this was a cool way to drop in on it. And it feels like because it is so deeply rooted in Japanese culture, I feel like Jim Zub does a great job of really using it and rooting it there. It made me want more comic books, superhero comics, really rooted in different mythologies of different cultures, because it's fun. Yeah, it's just fun. A fun take on the X-Men to have it so specific to Japanese culture.
I'm a Zubhead. I think he does great.
Is that the official...
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know if it's it's a Zubhub. I don't know what it would be. But
the Zubheads live at the Zubhub and they shop at eat at Zubway, which checks out for you.
Yeah, it checks out. It works out great. I think he does action so well and really does a good job of like keeping his comics very entertaining, which I enjoy. And yeah, I think this is a great comic, and you can tell that they take their time with. Giving the proper due to the different kind of like monsters, and makes it feel like an anime, like badass kind of situation, which I very much enjoy. And it's just fantastic. I loved it. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I agree with you, Pete. Really big action in this issue. You know, they've had that pretty much every issue, and things have got insane. They took a trip to Ireland where they ended up fighting the Fae folk, and that had some... enormous set pieces, but here we see buildings fall, we see streets torn apart, we see a demon fight metal hands that try to smash him, a dude gets ripped in half. Very
intense. A lot of dudes getting ripped in half.
It's a lot of fun. If you are looking for a good X-Men style book, definitely pick it up.
Yeah, go Zub this up.
Yeah. Zub it up.
Zub one out.
Moving on to a book that's not coming out until September 5th from Dynamite Comics, James Bond Origin #1 by Jeff Parker and Bob Kue. Now, this is something that I think people would say might be untouchable, right? Going back and taking a look at where James Bond started.
Yeah.
This is touching it. It's getting those fingers up in there. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
What? Alvin, what?
That's not what anybody wants review-wise.
They're shaking and stirring. You know what I'm talking about?
This definitely feels shaken.
Now, did you guys, like, before I started reading this, I started to do the theme music just before I, like, flipped the first page. So
what do you mean by
like,
do the theme music?
You know, like, you know, the James Bond theme music.
I've never watched a James Bond movie. What does it called? Really sell me on it.
It's too bad.
No, like, can you sell me on this theme music?
I'm not going to dance.
You almost did it.
Personal monkey.
You literally, I'm not trying to make you do it.
Yeah, I did almost do it.
James Bond. My name is James Bond.
Oh, yeah. I've never heard the full lyrics version.
What if I was James Bond in black jeans?
What is happening?
Is that what it is?
What is, stop.
I think that's what it is.
So you're not going to do it?
You're really not going to do it.
I'm not going to do it. No, I'm not going to dance for this.
I'm not thinking, what are you putting it on me? You are the one that just almost did it.
Here's what I'm going to argue. I'm going to argue that it is now frustrating for our listeners that you're not doing
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Good.
And I'm a listener right now because I'm hearing you not do it.
Yeah, it's got to be frustrating.
Yeah.
cool. Anyways, I thought this was a solid book.
Dun, 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 dun.
There you go.
Dun, dun,
dun, dun, thank you. Dun, dun, oh, that's the GoldenEye theme from the GoldenEye game.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
That's a good
that's
game.
That's a great game.
I think we all know how it goes, right? We didn't have to do it. But anyways, yeah, I thought this was kind of a cool take, and I also liked how
I just want to interrupt. I'm so sorry. There's a improv precinct called Yes And. Where
well, how would you know anything about that?
I
wow,
read
what a
book
slam. Definitely, guys, read your improv books.
Yeah,
100%. There's no better way to explore comedy.
So I'm just
than
saying me. That he threw something up to you, and eventually you have to complete it in some way.
Oh, yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I'll have to read the book and then get back to you guys.
Yeah, I know you work as a medical consultant.
Wow, that sounds great. Very. I wish that was my job title. It sounds better than what it actually is.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought it was cool.
Oh, did you want to talk about this comic book?
Yeah, yeah. I also. Yeah,
you got really close to learning something about each other there, guys.
Yeah.
I felt bad.
I liked the judo aspect of it, and I thought it was a fun take on a character that we know a ton about.
Yeah.
And I didn't mind the fact that they're trying to do something that some people might think like, oh, you can't touch this. I thought it was done in a way that didn't hurt anything, but still took some creative choices and kind of still stayed in the wheelhouse, but it made it feel fresh and young.
It does feel young. I mean, this is, you don't really know, you don't see much actual James Bond in this young James Bond character. So I'm hoping we get to see that as it unfolds.
Well, as Pete pointed out, I think there are notes, right? There is the judo. There are other things. We're getting
but
to
judo,
see.
James Bond's not known for judo.
No, yeah. But in this, it is. It's kind of fun.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, but it's we're starting here as like he's a boy,
right?
But how are we gonna? I want to see how he gets to his drink, his the woman.
That's what you care about. How he gets to his drink.
The elements of James Bond are shaken, not stirred. He goes.
I think
he's
there's
always,
more to James Bond than a beverage.
Judo. You want judo?
I want action in my comic books. So the fact that he's focusing on the fact that he's a badass judo guy, cool.
I
awesome.
Want people ordering stuff in bars and restaurants. I want yeah. people.
Here's what I want. I want him to walk into a bar and be like, give me a beer. And then he tastes it and he's like, nope.
Yeah.
Well, that's not it. And then it's.
I'll try Jameson on the rocks.
Yeah.
It's like 15 pages nope. about him trying. Yeah.
Just him. I'd be super into that.
Oh. Yeah.
And then
a
he
beer
gets a martini
shaken.
And he gets it stirred, not shaken. He's like, oh, it's so close.
It's so close. It's I feel so like close. I'm so close.
Yeah. Oh, God.
But I guess my point
and
is.
And then two good girls come in and interact with him, and he's like, oh, this isn't quite right either. Yeah. I don't know. And then two bad girls. It's basically yeah. like Goldilocks and the Three Bears, except with yeah. James Bond.
Yeah.
These definitely. Girls are too hot.
He doesn't say that a lot.
These girls are too cold.
I guess what I'm saying is the way this book is, I don't see much James Bond and it just feels like a
not
guy
yet.
Doing stuff. Yeah.
Do you know what this is? I don't know enough actual James Bond. Like I feel what you're feeling because my opinion of James Bond is formed by the movies, which I really enjoy. I'm a big fan of the movies. I love watching them, but I haven't really read the books and I've read some of the Dynamite books that they've been putting out, but I'm not steeped in James Bond continuity and history, which is something that has been fleshed out in Ian Fleming's novels and other novels. So yeah. I'm sure this is backed up quite a bit by watching young James Bond in World War II and the history there. It's probably very exciting for fans. For me, I agree with you. It reads as a very good young future spy stuck in yeah. a pre-World War II scenario.
It's like a spy who's into bicycling and judo. You know, James Bond.
Yeah.
Why
he's
are you so
there.
Angry?
And he is going to get
why
there.
Why are you
we'll
so
see.
Angry? He's supposed to start with like a real nice suit on, having a cigarette and being like, oh, yeah.
No, he can wear a shitty suit and then get a nice one.
What?
Just like everybody.
You're focusing on all these weird details.
Okay.
Yeah.
I could be young James Bond then.
Right.
I just haven't
he
done
mixes
the stuff
up with
yet.
A guy called Regular Job.
Yeah.
Who wears baseball hats.
Day job.
Day job. Well, anyway, this is a well-done comic. Regardless, let's move on to...
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did like it, though.
Another comic coming out September 5th, War Bears, number one from Dark Horse. This is by Margaret Atwood and Ken Stacey. Yeah,
Margaret Atwood?
Yeah.
Who saw that?
That is a left-field one, and particularly yeah. for a book like this. Now, you probably know Margaret Atwood from The Handmaid's Tale and other novels. This is her... she's written comics before, but...
Yeah.
This is not what I expected at all, picking up a Margaret Atwood comic book.
No.
It goes back to the history of comic books in Canada post World War II and shows a young writer getting involved in a little comic book studio.
Artist, excuse me.
Well, he's a writer as well.
I guess he's a writer artist.
Yeah, he's an artist writer.
It gets really meta in this book.
Right. And he ends up eventually building up to pitching the comic of the title. We do know from reading the front matter of the book that it's going to become, in the world of this book, a bigger title. So we're going to chart the evolution of that. I really like this a lot. I thought the art was very good, throwback art on purpose. They got somebody who is really well known for that type of art, so that works really well. The story is very straightforward, again, which was very surprising for Margaret Atwood, but it's a story that's well told, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was fun.
How'd you guys feel?
I think the art is really solid in this book. There's one great splash page of what the main character is imagining his brothers fighting in the World War II theater are going through, and it's a great panel with the Nazi swastika, like shooting all this fire out of it and wrapping up the bombers above it. That was really, I was like, oh, this feels right. And otherwise, yeah, it feels like a classic young comic book story, comic book artist story.
Yeah, like I was impressed with how much I liked it, because I was worried, because it gets meta where it's about a guy making a comic book that we then read the comic book in the comic book. But it's well done. It's got a lot of heart, which I appreciate. And you're kind of rooting for this scrappy kid who's trying to make his way.
I also thought it was very interesting to be reading about the Canadian comic book industry, because we have read so many meta books and so many background stories about the American comic book industry. There are things that are a little different and a little off. So I'm very interested and excited to find out more about that history. They also have suggested reading material noted in the book by Margaret Atwood. And I don't know if I'm going to take that step, but maybe I will. We'll see what happens.
Ah, that's nice.
We're going to check in with you later. Hopefully you take the steps, because I'd like to see if it's worth it.
Yeah, I'm going to just be super into Canadian comics from now on. I'm gonna start
very cool.
Northern Stack is what Alex,
ice cold stack from Alex.
Sweet.
Alex has a Canadian comic that he likes. Doesn't sound real.
It's called Alpha Flight. Have you guys heard of it?
Cool, yeah.
I don't know. I did love Alpha Flight back in the day. Last book we're going to talk about, this is from Valiant Comics, Harbinger Wars 2, number 4 by Matt Kent, with art by Tomas Giorello and Renato Guidas. This is wrapping up Valiant's Hyped to the Heavens event. We really enjoyed the Prelude issue in particular. We like the first issue. Check it in here at the end. How do you guys feel about this event now? How did it wrap up? What did you think about this last issue?
I don't know if it's just me, but lately I've been really liking how after a little fight, like the main conflicting people like stop and like talk out their issues and then make a decision.
Progress.
It's weird, but I think it works really well here and makes sense with the story and the stuff that they built up to. And I kind of enjoyed that choice. I thought it was a smart choice, and I think it works really well in this comic. But then at the end, they kind of give you some nice kind of like to be continued stuff or stuff that's going to be moving forward with the story. As a whole, I was impressed with this. I thought it was cool. Sometimes for me, like the characters, I don't love all of the Valiant characters, but I really like the
which
battle
ones, Pete? Tell us which ones you hate.
No, come on.
Actively hate.
No, but I really like
Man of War, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
You don't like him?
I don't like
him.
Really? Why is that?
I don't know. I just look at him. You know how when you meet somebody, you hate him right away?
Is it because he has a beard like you?
No.
Do you see yourself? He sees himself. That makes sense. But I like that you're taking your time, and I guess those court-mandated daily anger management workshops involving
I've
heavy
been totally
medication.
Going to those, asshole.
I totally.
All right.
Yeah, no, I don't have to be angry at me.
All right.
You're a real exo mano, Pete.
Oh, boy.
I like this as well. I like these characters. I think the way they've taken these sort of these Valiant characters created like in the 90s, in the right back in the day. And I feel like they've updated them and used them in a way that is very smart. And I like seeing them all come together and everyone sort of plays a role in this, in this big crossover.
Yeah, I like these characters a lot, too. I'm glad that Livewire is becoming a big and even bigger character in the Valiant universe. She is awesome.
I like Livewire.
The writer is great. She's fascinating. The position she ends up in at the end here, I think, is really good and really smart. I have to say, overall, I did not love this event, to be perfectly honest.
Really?
I feel like there have been bigger and more focused events that Valiant has done over the past couple of years. There was one where, I'm forgetting what they're called, but gigantic space gods attacked. Very similar to the stuff that actually Marvel and DC are doing now, but then they did it several years earlier.
Oh, slam.
They destroyed Mexico City during that event, which was an insane move. Like, that is a big thing to do in a comic book. So it immediately set the stakes there, and everybody got caught in the middle of it. And they've had other little events like that, too. There was one that led to the death of the Eternal Warrior and the first Geomancer, which, again, very weird, very different. To me, this felt like they were doing Civil War. That was my big holdback for this, where, like, I like the characters. I like what was happening. The art is good. It was well written. But it didn't feel like something new. And what I've enjoyed the most from Valiant's events is they haven't felt like events that I've seen at Marvel and DC. They felt like events that could only happen in the Valiant universe, and this wasn't one of them.
Interesting. Wow. I really like the resolution. That, to me, felt fresh, where the Exo Manowar and Livewire, what they sort of arrive at the end of the issue, I thought was really interesting.
Yeah, I like that, too. And I like that it does show this shared history there, where they haven't really had a long-term Avengers-style team. They had Unity very briefly. But they all know each other, and they all don't love each other. Like, they're not friends. Like,
yeah,
Avengers,
I know what that's like.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Slow your roll, dude.
Wow. Dun 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 dun.
But regardless, I would say, even with my reservations, it's a good tale, well told, that I would say pick it up.
God, he has so many reservations.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It kind of seems like you hate it.
It seems like you hate it.
Yeah. I just don't like Exo Manowar.
Yeah.
You know what? It's his beard.
Yeah.
And the fact that he looks
like, I love,
like,
how that character,
Pete.
You think the thing that bothers me is the beard.
No, I like Exo Manowar, actually.
Me too.
Though I will say I am bothered by his beard.
Yeah, why are you bothered by his beard?
Yeah, why do you hate
beard
so much?
I don't know, man.
Because it's weird, because would have a helmet on and it gets all crunched up.
Yeah, like, it gets all scrunchy under his helmet. It feels like it probably his beard is poking into his face, and that makes me very uncomfortable when I'm reading.
Fashion's painful, man.
100%. Honestly, that's actually what I think.
Wow.
That is so weird.
Weird. Yeah. So it turns out Alex is the weird one.
If you would like to support this show and other shows we do, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. at the Bit Loft in New York. That's totally free. Please come on by. Pete, what else do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on our live show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Check us out at comicbookclublive.com for the podcast and more. And we'll see you at the hospital.
What?
Where comics are being born every single day.
That's great. Adopt one of your own today.
Or just buy them.
Yeah. Can't buy children.
Well, you can buy comics, though.
The end. That blows your mind.